When asked about Allah saying, "We revealed it on Laylatul Mubarakah, the blessed night," the Prophet's 5th infallible heir, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, replied, "Yes, it is Laylatul Qadr. It comes every year in the month of Ramadan during its last 10 nights. The Quran was not sent down, but on Laylatul Qadr, as Allah says, in it every wise affair is made distinct. That is, He decrees that night everything to happen during the year." Asked what is meant by Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months, he said, "Good deeds such as prayer, charity, and etc. done that night are better than similar deeds during 1,000 months without the grand night." A commentator says that the term thousand must be taken in an indefinite sense, that is, a timeless time, and interprets it to mean that one moment of enlightenment under Allah's light is better than thousands of months or the year of animal life, and such a moment converts the night of darkness into a period of spiritual glory. Hence, Muslims are advised to spend the above nights, especially the 23rd, in prayer and good deeds. Some of the recommended acts on the grand night are as follows. Number 1. Ghusl, or taking bath. Number 2. Keeping awake the whole night, praying and supplicating to Allah. Number 3. Charity and helping the poor and the needy. Number 4. Reciting the Noble Quran, especially the Surahs Rum and Kabut and Dukhan. In view of these undeniable facts, all of us ought to pray fervently for the triumph of righteousness over the falsehood and the end of tyranny on planet Earth, whether by the great Satan, the US, or its devilish agents who are bombarding the people of Yemen, brutalizing the Bahrainis, committing untold atrocities against the people of eastern parts of Arabia, destabilizing Iraq and Syria, pounding the Palestinians, and funding sedition in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Surely the hour will come when these satanic regimes and devilish outfits will be wiped out forever from the face of the earth, as promised by God, with the advent of the Savior of mankind, the Prophet's 12th and last infallible heir, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him. The Imam to whom the angels descend on the grand nights of Qadr for finalization of the fates of every individual will reappear with Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, as his assistant to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. In conclusion, here are passages from the famous supplication, Joshan Kabir, which the faithful recite on the grand night. O my God, I beseech you through your names. O God, most merciful, all compassionate, all knowing, clement, one of mights, all wise, pre-eternally existent, ever enduring, most generous, glory unto you. You have no partner or fault. There is no God but you. Mercy, mercy. Deliver us from hellfire. O Lord of lords, O answer of prayer, O preserver of good deeds, O most lofty in degree, O bestower of blessings, O forgiver of sins, O repulser of afflictions, O hearer of sounds, O granter of requests, O knower of things secret and hidden, glory unto you, you have no partner or fault. There is no God but you. Mercy, mercy, deliver us from hellfire. O one of might and beauty, O possessor of domination and glory, O owner of power and perfection, O he who is sublime, most high, O he whose designs are most powerful, O he whose chastisement is most severe, O he who calls to account most swiftly, O he with whom is the best of rewards, O he with whom is the mother of the book, O he who piles up the laden clouds, glory unto you, you have no partner or fault, there is no God but you. Mercy, mercy, deliver us from hellfire.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
I've known that Allama Amini has been regarded as a personality to whom many authorities have been attracted, both Muslim and non-Muslim. I don't say, well, I mean, both Shia and non-Shia, no, both Muslim and non-Muslim.
Allama Amini was an extraordinary scholar who never agreed on a little things. Even when you look at the book, Al-Ghadir, and he has other books as well. So it shows his devotion towards Islam, how sincere he was, and how much he was very much involved in the knowledge and learning knowledge.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm Atta, the host of this program. In this episode, we want to talk about Allama Abdul Hussein Amini, the great author of the book Al-Ghadir. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts, one from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, and another, a faculty member of the University of Qom, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhr Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, and Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Today, we want to talk about another outstanding achievement of the late Allama Abdul Hussein Amini, and that is the foundation of Amir al-Mu'mineen Library in the city of Najaf. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani, we know that we had great scholars, we can say, especially in contemporary time, which dedicated their lives to collecting the manuscripts and founding the libraries on the Islamic books and the Shia resources, and really are the source of benefit nowadays for so many other researchers and scholars, both Muslims and non-Muslims. For sure, Amir al-Mu'mineen Library beside Ayatollah Marashi Najafi's library in the city of Qom are two great outstanding libraries. But let's dedicate this discussion, I mean this episode, to Amir al-Mu'mineen Library. Why Amir al-Mu'mineen Library is regarded as one of the greatest Islamic libraries all across the world of Islam, brother?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The point is that Allama Amini, because of his being in close contact with the leading libraries in various countries, he felt it very much necessary to found a great library on a par with major libraries he visited here and there in the world for the city of Najaf. It doesn't mean that Najaf was absolutely without any library. No, there were some small libraries in Najaf. For example, the Hosseiniyye of the people of Shushtar in Najaf had a library, a very small library.
Okay.
Or some leading scholars over there had their own private collections.
That's right.
However, the city of Najaf was in need of, was very much in need of having a good library of itself, so that when scholars from here and there would travel to Najaf, they would have a place for not only finding the desired books, but also a place as the academic rendezvous to meet each other over there. Okay, and Allama Amini's initial project regarding his library wasn't a library; it was like a research institute over there. Okay, however, because of many financial shortcomings or other problems, and mainly the problems posed by the Ba'athist regime in Iraq for Shia ulama, and especially those who were originally Iranian, Allama Amini didn't find the right facilities to develop as well as he anticipated it
to be.
Okay.
This was my next question. Most of the research time of Allama Amini was passed during the Ba'ath regime, in Iraq. And I think that was really difficult for him to, tolerate the atmosphere over there.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Allama Amini passed away in Tehran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he died in Tehran, his children wanted to take his body to Najaf, to the library, for burial.
Okay.
However, the Ba'athist regime never issued an entry visa for the body of Allama Amini to be taken to Najaf. And because of this, Allama Amini's body was taken to a hospital in Tehran, in the cold storage over there, until the Iraqi ambassador to Tehran at that time, received a permission from Baghdad that Allama Amini's body was permitted to be taken to Najaf. Yes, if you want to review the cultural crimes of the Ba'athist regimes, I think several programs should be made regarding the cultural crimes of the Ba'athist regimes.
Thank you
regarding Shia sequels over there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhwani. I will get back to you regarding Amir al-Mu'minin library, how many books are over there and in what languages. But Said Mohsen, for now, this sunnah of we can say establishing library or having a research center for the ulama in that time is really beautiful, and one of the was one of the innovations of Allama Amini on that time too. For the coming generations, and we know that the following generations are benefiting from this resource nowadays in Najaf. So many of the Kansai Hausa students over there are benefiting from the manuscripts for the research projects. Talk a little bit about this sunnah, this tradition of the library thing for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, such a thing cannot be done by a person who has not bear the hardness of collecting knowledge or going after knowledge or
That's
collecting
right.
books.
Okay.
It is only can be done by a person who have spent his whole life in struggling for books, in struggling for the knowledge, in order to know something, in order to find something. And this struggling, obviously, there is a pain in it, there is hardship in it. And for his next generation, he does not want this to be done. Obviously, he knows, he himself knows that how much time was wasted in traveling, for
That's
example.
Right.
Like when he was traveling from Iraq to India, for example, how many days he spent on the way. And he was really suffering because of this time which is wasted in the in the journey.
Okay.
And that's what he did not want it for the rest of people. For example, about Allama Marashi or the Allama Amini, they both obviously, when we look at their libraries, it shows us like how much obviously they give importance to this, number one. Number two, when we say Najaf is the city of knowledge, because of Imam Ali alayhi salam, there should be a library which should be the center of all, we can say like, which has all the resources from the Islam. That if a person enters this city of knowledge, he should have a place where he can refer to the knowledge.
That's right.
So this was another idea behind him. And that's why he made that big library in the Najaf as a source of knowledge, for example, for the scholars who want to do research.
Yes.
And yes, it is very true. And we can...
Have you ever yourself visited?
No. Because I visited Iraq in 40 and it's too
crowded.
Okay. And obviously it's overcrowded.
Okay. Where is it exactly located, Dr. Fakhruhani? In Shahr al-Rasul?
In Shahr al-Rasul, in a small alley called Souq al-Huwaysh. Very narrow but long way. On both sides you find bookshops and representative of leading publishers in the whole Arab world. When you enter that way. That lane,
I mean, that's a book market.
Yes,
that's a book market in Najaf.
Yes. Okay. When you leave Imam Ali's Qibla Shrine, it's located on your right hand. And when you enter the lane, if I'm not mistaken, the fifth or the sixth, narrowest street on the left side. When you enter it, the library is just in front
of
you.
It's after Ayatollah Sistani's office.
No, Ayatollah Sistani's office is on the other hand of Shahr al-Rasul. When you leave Imam Ali's shrine on the Qibla gate, Ayatollah Sistani's house is on the left side. The library is on the right side.
And the tomb of Ayatollah Amini is over there too?
Yes, exactly. In the same library.
Okay.
Yes. It's before the next checkpoint. There are two checkpoints.
Yes.
Okay. It's before. It's in between.
Everyone who visits the tomb of Allama Amini can visit the shrine. Can visit the library too. And is the library open for everyone? Is it a public library?
It used to be.
The manuscripts are precious.
The manuscripts are kept in the basement.
Okay.
In a special place.
Have you ever visited yourself over there?
Yes.
The manuscripts?
I should like to say that I had the opportunity of paying pilgrimage to the handwriting of Allama Amini several times.
Handwriting of himself?
Yes, to pay pilgrimage to the handwritings of Allama Amini.
In Arabic?
Yes.
And was it beautiful, his handwriting?
Yes, very beautiful.
So, and Al-Ghadir was written in handwritten and then typed into?
Yes. And Al-Ghadir received two major editions. So the first edition was published in 9 volumes, and this 11 edition, is in fact the second edition, the second and the revised edition.
The revised edition.
Yes.
Revised by a scholar?
No, revised by Allama Amini himself.
By Allama Amini himself?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the first edition had some misprints and typos.
Oh, and all of them were handwritten?
Initially, yes.
Initial handwritten and then checked
it.
What about the English translation or the Farsi translation?
So far as I know, I haven't seen any English translation of Allama Amini.
Really?
Yes, I haven't seen. But so far as I know, the Iraqi Shia scholars, the late Dr. Safa Khulusi, who was a great figure in translation studies, devoted his PhD dissertation at the University of London to Al-Ghadir. And its theme is concerned with the seminal role of Shias in the development of Arabic literature. It was entirely based on the first volume of Al-Ghadir. And when Dr. Safa Khulusi was developing his doctoral dissertation at the University of London, he used to come to Iraq to visit Allama Amini and his resources quite a lot of times.
Let me have another problem. The issue is
we have some people who are translating it in Urdu language. And they could, I think, translate 5 volumes of the Urdu. The main problem is the literature. When you're translating, you can translate a book very easily. But the poetry cannot be transferred. Obviously, an ordinary person, or it needs really,
a poet himself.
A poet himself who can understand how it was written. And, generally translating a script, a statement, a hadith, or a Quranic, or these things are very easy.
Easier.
And it's obviously 11 volumes, so it needs really
dedicated.
A teamwork.
It needs a teamwork to translate. And Allama Amini himself was a team, I think.
I think there's the translation which I saw, that team who was working on it, they had a discussion to translate the poetry the Arabic poetry the into the Urdu poetry.
Oh.
So they were after this as well.
Okay.
So there are many things that are happening. Yes. They're going on. But obviously, until they reach to the, obviously, its
yes.
final point, we cannot...
But in English, is still no valuable English.
Let me tell you very something, good. Yes. So far as I know, there have been several Persian abridged editions of Al-Ghadir.
Uh-huh.
The abridgments. Okay?
Yes.
I can say that. I mean, I'm 100% sure that there hasn't been any abridged edition of Al-Ghadir unless I found it,
mm-hmm.
okay, and okay. read it.
Okay.
The best abridged edition of Al-Ghadir is the one done by the sons of Allama Amini, because they were, I mean, they were aware and they were together
okay.
with the father, Allama
okay.
Amini,
okay.
who was developing Al-Ghadir.
Yes.
This abridged edition done by, I mean, the sons of Allama Amini, it was translated into English. This abridged edition
okay.
was translated into English.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the translation is really awful.
Mm-hmm. The
really
quality
awful.
Is not good, okay.
Yes, full of mistakes.
Full of mistakes,
yes.
okay.
Unfortunately.
Now, when you search the Google for the English translation of Al-Ghadir, you find nothing.
Yes.
I mean, the only thing is a summary.
It's not been published. Yeah.
Yeah. It has not been done yet,
yeah.
I think. And this is really a misfortune, you know, I think, for the Islamic world and the Shia world, kind of not to have the translation of this, not only in English, but in different languages, but in English still we cannot see. And I hope and I wish and I pray that one day the English translation, I mean, the good quality English translation will be
in
done.
Fact, some people suggested
yes.
me to translate on
yes.
Al-Ghadir, but I said to them that, okay, apart from Quranic verses and hadiths, okay,
yes.
how would you go about translating a very noble Arabic poetry, okay, when you translate a poem from
okay.
one language into another language, okay, nothing exists, nothing
okay.
remains,
okay,
everything okay. is lost.
Okay, that's all right.
Yes.
I hope that Dr. Fakhwani, one day you would do that, isn't it? I mean, the English translation.
I guess it must be in the own project.
It would be really difficult, but now for those listeners who want to be more familiar with Allama Amini in English language, I really invite them to read out your book, Dr. Fakhwani, Devoted to the Truth, Allama Amini, the author of Al-Ghadir, written by Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhwani and published by The Sun Behind the Clouds publication. This is really a good book. Professor Liaghat Takim from the McMaster University in Canada says, and I'm reading the back cover of this book, "This work is an invaluable resource that the general readers and the students of Islamic disciplines will benefit from." Dr. Fakhwani, thank you very much for writing this book. And thank you very much for your presence in the program. The teacher, which was about Allama Abdul Hussein Amini, may Allah bless his soul. And the magnum opus that he wrote, Al-Qadir, will remain, I think, during whole history of Islam and the Shia Islam, and the coming generation will benefit from him. And the other books of Allama Abdul Hussein Amini. Said Mohsen Naqvi, thank you much too, brother.
You're welcome.
It was very kind of you. Beautiful information and fruitful discussion by you and Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakhwani. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, which was about Allama Abdul Hussein Amini, the author of the magnum opus, Al-Ghadir. Visit our website at parstudio.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. في أمان الله.
For thought. Salam, friends, and heartfelt condolences to all those who, in the countries to the east, are commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful, the Leader of the Pious, the epitome of justice, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Here, as food for thought, we present some of the last pieces of advice of the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I advise you and all my children, my relatives, and whosoever receives this message to be conscious of Allah, to remove your differences, and to strengthen your ties. I heard your grandfather, the Prophet, peace upon him, say, reconciliation of your differences is more worthy than all prayers and all fasting. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 19:20 to 20:20 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. The light.
Archaeologists have found a meaning for mysterious new findings in a cave in Mexico. They believe they are part of ancient Maya rituals. Around 1,200 years ago, some people imprinted their hands on the cave walls. The 137 prints are in two colors, black and red. Experts say the black ones represent death, while the red paintings are a reference to war or life. An analysis of their size also shows that the handprints were likely made by children as they entered puberty. The subterranean cavern, called Chichen Itza, is located nearly 10 meters below a tree which Mayans assume sacred. Little hotels for little bees. In Colombia, wooden structures are built for the insects to rest after a hard day. The Oboro Valley Metropolitan Authority has installed the hexagon-shaped rooms for bees of all shapes and sizes. Every day, volunteers clean the bamboo hotel with paintbrushes. Designers say the bee hotels are made to protect some species that are more vulnerable.
These little bees are supremely sensitive to poisons, and since they don't produce honey, no one speaks up for them. So we're coming to the rescue.
Designers say bees are losing their habitat all over the world, so the hotels could be a means of survival. Colombia has registered 550 varieties of bees within its borders. Britain, a revolutionary idea might change many things in regard to maritime boarding operations, a jet suit. This is what the Royal Marines are testing in a variety of scenarios. Wearing the jet suit, each person can fly freely over the water and land on a moving ship. Its developer company, Gravity Industries, says the suit provides quick access to any part of the target vessel. Previously, British paramedics have tested the unique product for search and rescue operations. The suit can reach a speed of 51 kilometers and a height of over 3,600 meters. Now, the 200th death anniversary of French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte has brought a unique opportunity for private collectors to buy his DNA. The auction offers Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, which is estimated to be sold for $18,000. The collection will also include a lock of the French Emperor's hair, a pair of his stockings, a shirt with an embroidered letter N, and other items of clothing.
In my opinion, Napoleon was the first to want to create a Napoleon brand, even when he was alive. He created an image, a symbol, a look, with his hat worn in reverse. It was a very ordinary hat, an ordinary coat, but he was a very good communicator, and he created his image. So generation after generation, we kept this image of Napoleon, his hat, and this contributed to the myth. But it was Napoleon who wanted from the beginning to create an image, a look.
Nearly 360 objects will go under the hammer in the upcoming auction. Many of the items are brought back from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. Historians say his belongings have sparked the passion of collectors in France and other parts of the world. Several years ago, one of the French emperor's signature bicorn hats was sold to a Korean food industry mogul for more than $2 million. A Belgian chocolate maker has come up with the idea of chocolate bunnies in the shape of vaccine syringes to spread hope during the coronavirus pandemic. Geneviève Trapon makes the chocolate bunnies at her workshop in a village south of Brussels. She has dubbed the chocolate syringes Lache à Aztec. I hope I pronounced that correctly. This is not the first time the Belgian confectioner has been inspired by the pandemic to create art. Last year, she also put white masks on its Easter bunnies to keep the spirit alive amid a worsening pandemic. Trapon says she came up with the idea of syringe-shaped bunnies after the first coronavirus inoculations in her country at the end of 2020.
Why did I decide to create the chocolate vaccine? We are still in a period of COVID-19, and it was the logical continuation of the little masked rabbit from last year. Back then, nobody was talking about vaccines. At the end of that year, we started talking about a vaccine, and I thought the rabbit should be vaccinated. It's a symbol of hope, and that's why I decided to create the vaccine.
Trapon says her works show natural health benefits of chocolate. She believes that the chocolate version, like a real vaccine, has enough positive effects such as anti-depression, nutrients, and magnesium. Many of us have missed air traveling, though, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, a South Korean airline has opened a restaurant offering in-flight meals on land. The Jeju Air restaurant resembles being in a flight with mock plane windows and boarding gates. It serves popular onboard meals such as rice and chicken. Customers have hailed the creative idea, saying the experience reminds them of the joy of travel. Having food in the imaginary flight costs around $9 for each person. The temporary diner will run for the next 3 months.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Let's go to the Philippines to meet a man having a big, colorful collection of Happy Meal toys. Percival Lug has been into collecting toys since he was five. His collection includes around 20,000 toys from fast food restaurant chains like McDonald's and Burger King. Lug also holds a Guinness World Record from 2014. The 50-year-old graphic artist says he always takes good care of his beloved toys. He believes each toy has a story inside.
Toy is like a storyteller in itself. Like, for example, it gives me a glimpse of that particular period when I got it, my story, what's going on, what are the incidents that are attached in the acquisition of that particular toy.
Luke says his family and friends also help him broaden his collection by donating toys. He hopes to display his toy collection for the public to, quote, give people a chance to revisit their childhood memories.
People around the world have been grounded by the coronavirus, with many being forced to work from home. But the Scottish man has made a secluded cliffside a perfect spot against a pandemic-induced change to working habits. Jason Griffin's 34-year-old call center consultant from Glasgow has put remote working technology to the test by moving his office to a dangling shelf off the Irish Sea. His move is seen as an attempt to give rise to the digital nomad, meaning people can use technology to work from wherever connectivity is possible. Griffin says as long as there is a mobile connection and his laptop, he has everything he needs to do his job.
Today we are pushing the technology to its limits because we're going over cliff face. We're abseiling down to a ledge, and I will be working all day from that ledge and taking and making calls, interacting with internal staff, just showing that remote literally means remote.
Griffins has set up a temporary office on a cliff face to prove that its performance is as good as a busy office. Call centres are one sector where remote working and technology has kept companies connected to customers, but the digital revolution has seen an inclination towards working remotely. The pink supermoon has glowed over different landmarks all over the world. The phenomenon lit up the sky in different countries from Greece to China on Tuesday night. The supermoon occurs when a full moon is closer to Earth than usual and therefore appears bigger and brighter in the sky. The term was first coined by an American astrologer in 1979. When the supermoon rises in April, it's called a pink supermoon after a pink wildflower that blooms in the eastern parts of North America. According to NASA, the next supermoon will come in less than a month on May 26th. In a remote part of Pakistan, two sisters have come up with a unique idea to help children continue their education during pandemic-related school closures. A camel library. The mobile library visits four villages in Pakistan's largest province of Balochistan. Children borrow books and return them the next time the camel visits. The project was founded by a local high school principal and her sister. Rahima Jalal says she started the project because she wanted children around her remote hometown to continue learning despite schools being closed.
When the coronavirus spread, the entire region and all the schools were closed. There was an atmosphere of depression for old and young alike. The region where I live, there is no entertainment for children at all, no place for outings. The only activity is the children going to school and coming back home. After the schools had remained closed for 8 or 9 months due to COVID, we started wondering what we could do for the children. How could we start some sort of activity which would keep children busy and also be of some benefit to them?
Pakistan closed the schools early in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic and sent some 50 million school and university students home. The closures put children in Balochistan at particular risk of falling behind, as the province is Pakistan's most impoverished. Even though some schools have reopened, children in this region still have trouble accessing educational resources.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special. Today, Wednesday, is the 22nd of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Dear brothers and sisters, we open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to the first verses of chapter Dukhan from the Holy Quran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
حميم.
حميم.
والكتاب المبين.
By the clear book.
إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ إِنَّا كُنَّا مُنذِرِينَ
Indeed, we sent it down during a blessed night. Indeed, we were to warn mankind.
فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ
On that night is made distinct every precise matter.
أَمْرًا مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ
Every matter proceeding from us. Indeed, we were to send a messenger.
What night is the one which is the source of permanent good things? The majority of exegists maintain that it is the night of decree, a blessed night on which the ordainment of the worlds of humanity found a novel color with the revelation of the Holy Quran, a night on which the fates of humanity and the ordainments of one year are predestined. Thus the Holy Quran was revealed to the pure heart of the Prophet on a fateful and momentous night. It is noteworthy that the verse apparently indicates that the Holy Quran in its entirety was revealed to the Prophet on the night of decree.
The night of Qadr. Shab-e Qadr has nothing to do with Shab-e Qadr and everything to do with the insan. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does sometimes is He places accelerators on our path. to show us, look, you become complacent, you become dormant, you slow down. Let me show you how amazing you can be, insan, by placing a night like Shab Qadr in front of you to show you that if you have the right mindset, the right ikhlas, the right niyat, your one night of amal can be 83 plus years. You're doing Shab Qadr. It's not about Shab Qadr. It's about what you do on Shab Qadr. It's about your capacity on the night of Qadr. You're able to write your destiny on that night. You don't understand what Shab Qadr is because you haven't understood your own capacity. Your ability to do amal that will last a lifetime is within you. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, don't think that you're a ma'muli existence. You're some normal creation. Inside of you is an alam akbar, a grand universe.
Why Laylatul Qadr? Islamic scholars differ regarding the meaning behind the names of Laylatul Qadr, as the word Qadr can hold a variety of meanings and each has its own theological significance. Some scholars define Qadr in the context of this holy night as destiny or decree. To them, this meant that this was the night in which the destiny of each person was decided. Other scholars define the meaning of Qadr as power, indicating the greatness of the honor and might of the night. Another meaning of Qadr in the context of Laylatul Qadr involves the meaning of restriction.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Greetings dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to today's special broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. O Allah, on this day, open before me the doors of your graces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this holy month, we stated it before, we state it again now. Why? So it could remind you that it's always an opportunity, this opportunity is still available. You guys still have at least a week to gain as much as you can from this holy month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open the doors of His mercy, open the doors of His grace, and spread out for a feast. This feast does not have your chicken and your meat. What does it have? It has His mercies and His blessings and His rewards. Here in this month, it's our chance to gain the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a chance to book our places in paradise. And you know, it's really the dua, the supplication of the distressed ones. Those who really understand this life, those who really understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had behind creation, what He had behind creating us and bringing us into this world, and that is to book our places in paradise. It is to book our places in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He is an all-merciful creator. Now, there are, you know, when you have this table spread, there are, you know, you could say appetizers. After the appetizers, usually comes the main course. The nights of Qadr, the nights of ordinance, the nights of power, they are the main course. They are our best chance. In some sayings, it is the new year for believers. Why is it the new year for believers? It's the start of a year for believers. During this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places the destination of human beings. Of course, this destination is capable of being changed by dua, by supplication. All this needs by itself one episode of like 30 minutes long just to explain this concept. But in summary, in a nutshell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these days writes down when are we going to die, our lifespan, our wealth span, our, you know, how we're going to live with happiness, with joy. And it's in our hands in these days. We could ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change. We could give supplication, we could pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change to the better.
This is our chance. This is our opportunity. We must not let it slip between our hands.
Ya Rabbu ya Rahman, ya Khaliq al-Akwan. Ya Rabbu ya Rahman, ya Khaliq al-Akwan. Zidna min al-Iman fi laylat al-Qadr.
Mediation and pondering in the nights of Qadr. This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special. After recital of invocations and supplications, one should allocate some time for self-mediation and pondering. Of course, this should be done at a time when he's free from whatever disturbs his thought, like domination of sleep, overeating, and pains of hunger. The revelation of the Quran. The biggest virtue associated with Laylatul Qadr is that in this night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed the Quran upon mankind as a gift and as a source of guidance. Allah the Almighty says in Surah Ad-Dukhan, indeed we send it, the Quran, down during a blessed night. Surah Ad-Dukhan, verse 3. The revelation of the scripture came in two stages. It was primarily revealed in its entirety by Jibreel alayhi salam, and was then gradually revealed in stages to Prophet Muhammad throughout 23 years of prophethood.
We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors. The doors are already open, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open them more for us, to keep them open for us. And we can't do it by ourselves. Of course, we need the knowledge of understanding what we must do during these days, what we must not do during these days. Thus, it's important for us to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us aid, to help us out, into teaching us and guiding us to what pleases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not close these doors on us and to keep these doors open, not only in the holy month of Ramadan, but also after the holy month of Ramadan. Because if we do it correctly, if we take our opportunity correctly, this door that is opening, it's like a ship, or it's like a boat that we built. And if we build it correctly, we can use it to sail away from the island, the stranded island that we are in. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our worships, to aid us in finding the doors of grace, and to act upon what gained the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you guys for joining us on today's special. From now until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Leave you in Allah's protection. Please keep us in your prayer in these gracious days and nights. We leave you in Allah's blessings.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Tawatta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. هديت قلبي شكرا نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب شكرا يا ربي شكرا هديت قلبي
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English.